I think that goes back, or doesn't go back, goes ahead to what we have in John 17. Glorify, as it says, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He had glory before. Now he has glory as of an only begotten.
I wonder if what we're talking about, too, couldn't be defined in a verse in Colossians 1, verse 13. And I'm going to read it from the Authorized, then from the New Translation. I think the New gives the literal rendering of it. It's very beautiful. Verse 13 says, this is God, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The New Translation says, he's delivered us from the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that express this magnificent thought of the only begotten? He's the Son of his love. He embodies everything that God takes absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure is embodied in this person, this eternal person. He's the Son of his love. We don't use that kind of expressions in our normal talk. It's a wonderful, unique expression, and it's only for him, only for the Lord Jesus.
And this love was in eternity past. And I think that I get back to what Leonard had said earlier, that dwelling on this theme of the Lord as the Son in eternity past, there was relationship in the Godhead, and it was one of love. And fast-forwarding it, when we think of that fact, that this is where the Lord Jesus was, and he was willing to come in such a place of bliss and yet come to redeem us, it puts it in a new perspective, I suggest. But to think about that, this was a place of bliss, place of love, place of light, and it was perfect. And this is where the love was expressed in such an environment. We cannot imagine that, but that's what it was, perfection.
Well, this word love would also imply enjoyment, because one who absorbs the fact that he or she is loved by another, that is something that can provide security, comfort, and joy. And certainly the Lord Jesus Christ, as Son of the Father, before the world was, before anything else was, the angels or any of the other works of God, enjoyed, no doubt, the fact that his Father loved him. And I think that is so sweetly told out in the story of the prodigal son. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ never experienced that, because he never went out from the Father in terms of departure. But yet, do we not learn something of a father's love in the story of the prodigal son? And the Father ever loved him, even when he left. And the Father, when he saw him, met him, he embraced him. And so maybe discussion could be had about the Father's love for that boy. Very special love. Again, he had another son. And it's a different kind of relationship there. But this son was a very special son for the Father, and there's enjoyment of that.
Could we perhaps say then that the Father loved us more? He gave his only begotten Son for us. Mm-hmm. How can we understand that divine love? I believe it's beyond our comprehension, really. Mm-hmm. But I want to make a few comments on the expression, the Word. We know a lot about the word itself, a word. A word is a concept. It conveys thoughts. It conveys something to us. The word can only refer to the Lord Jesus. The word, this book, the scriptures, are the Lord revealing the heart of the Father to a lost world. All the scriptures refer to, in a different way, wherever we read, toward his coming, toward his death, toward his resurrection, and eventually toward his return again to reign here on earth. And this is a blessed thing for every person who has faith in the Lord Jesus. One of the titles that was revealed, now the Lord has many titles, but in Revelation 19, the ending of verse 13 says, one of his titles there, revealed, he always had it, the Word of God. So when we hold this in our hands, in effect, we're learning of him, we're seeing him in the scriptures, and we can rejoice in that. God had to write this word so that we could understand it as human beings. If God revealed himself in his eternal state, we wouldn't understand that. In John 4, when the Lord met the woman at the well, he had to tell her that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We cannot see God. We cannot see God, but we see him in the person of the Lord Jesus. And in that person, we see all the blessings that God had for us. He is the eternal Son. He was always with the Father. The Trinity is not something we can grasp based on natural reason, but we know it is so. God revealed himself in three ways, as a Father, as a Son, and as a Spirit. And when we have faith in the Lord Jesus, his Spirit indwells us. What a blessing that brings us into, doesn't it? How would we even understand the Word if we didn't have the Lord in us? I don't think we would understand it. And that is why many reject the Lord Jesus. They don't want to study the Word. They don't want to learn of him. And they try to bring him down to the level of a man. A prophet, the Lord himself, as we, I think we have that verse here. When it was asked, he asked the question, who say men that I am? Well, what was the answer? Peter gave the answer, right? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? He gave the right answer, but someone without faith can't give the right answer. And so others said, well, he's a prophet, right? He's a good man, and that's the way the world sees him today. But we have the blessed privilege of revealing through faith what we have received from the Word, who he really is. We know him, and that is the blessing. And may we understand, of course, the Trinity is difficult to grasp, but surely we are blessed to know there is only one God revealed in three persons.
It's important just to link this thought of the Word with his incarnation, however, and I believe that's what verse 14 does. Mm-hmm. It links the fact that this is the eternal one who is described as the Word now comes into creation and used with the same expression, the Word, in verse 14. So I just make that added point.
I also wanted to make the point that the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ is also brought out in verse 18 in the constancy of his connection with the Father. So a person who says, well, the Lord Jesus Christ is simply a prophet, misses the fact that here in verse 18, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father. He was always connected to the Father, which is something that we cannot say of ourselves because at points communion is broken because as human beings we fail. But the Lord Jesus Christ was always connected to the Father. And this thought of in the bosom of the Father has the idea of affection. You think of a mother and a child. The little child is close to the bosom of the mother, the parent. Mm-hmm. And in that connection, he was able to declare the Father. He was able to reveal aspects of the Father that no one else could. So the Lord Jesus Christ is completely, completely unique.